Now this evening, with your Bibles open, to the 78th Psalm. Psalm 78. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. And I shall read through verse 25 of Psalm 78 after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for the written word. We thank Thee for the bread of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for this fine musical program that has begun our service and thrilled our hearts. And now we pray that as we come to the time of the reading of the Scriptures, the preaching of the Word, that our hearts might be in tune with Thee, that we might know the joy of listening to the Bible as it is read and as the Word is preached. Again, we would offer a special prayer for the particular needs of our people and our congregation. And then, Heavenly Father, for those who might be here tonight unsaved and unprepared to meet Christ, may they come to know Him is our prayer in His name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. In Psalm 78, beginning at verse 18, and verse 18 breaks into a long discourse on the history of Israel's wilderness wanderings. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God and said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation, though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. Thank God for the corn of heaven. Corn is the number one crop in the United States. In fact, it is one of the four of the most important crops produced anywhere all over the world. The other three are wheat and rice and potatoes. And I hardly see how we could do without any of them. Do we not have a great deal to be thankful for, that God has so nourished the earth that it would bring forth the vegetation for us to eat, for us to survive, for us to be sustained on? Can we not say and mean it from our hearts tonight, thank God for corn? Bread is the stay of life. Bread has been the hungry cry of humanity all the days of the history of mankind. It was the cry of the people of Israel when they were in Canaan and there came a famine to that land. It was the cry of the crowds in Rome during the days of the decline of the empire. It was the cry in the masses of France when they stormed the gates of Paris and demanded food. It was the cry of the masses in Russia when they stormed the palaces of the czars and demanded bread. It was the cry of our pilgrim fathers when they landed on these shores to discover a new world. Here is a tragic note. Bread is the cry of one half of the population of the world who go to bed hungry every night. When we sit down to enjoy our Thanksgiving dinner come Thursday, let us not forget that every other person, I think this is astounding, every other person in the world will go to bed Thanksgiving night still hungry. It is hard for us to conceive in this land of plenty that there are people who are born and live and die and never know the satisfaction of a full stomach. I say that's hard for us to conceive of. And isn't it a tragedy that we in the United States waste enough food to feed another nation? In the United States, we burn up enough in tobacco to feed that every other person who goes to bed every night hungry. What a waste. What a tragedy. What a sorrowing thing. With all of our multiplicity of things in America, we put in the garbage and blow up in smoke enough to satisfy the needs of the hunger of multiplied millions of people around the world. Observe that the writer refers to manna as the corn of heaven. Thank God for the corn of heaven. Also, in Psalm 105 and verse 40, it is called the bread of heaven. And the rabbis called it angel's bread. Probably from the verse that I read a moment ago, verse 25 of Psalm 78. And men did eat angels' food. I want to call to your attention several things about the bread or corn of heaven, as we should be thankful for it. First of all, the corn of heaven was a mysterious provision. The word manna suggests something mysterious, inexplainable, indefinable. In fact, there has never been a meaning given to the word manna. The Israelites went out and picked it up. And holding it in their hand, they said, "What is it?" And that's what manna means. What is it? A mysterious provision. They were fascinated by the way it came to them. By the heavenly provision, mysterious provision of the food that they were to eat. As manna, the corn of heaven, was a mysterious provision, so is our bread of heaven, the Lord Jesus. There is nothing tonight that has baffled scientists and men of medicine more than the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He was a mysterious provision. Upon a certain day, the angel Gabriel visited the home of a virgin who lived in Nazareth up in Galilee. And the angel saluted that young woman and told her that she would become the mother of Messiah. And her question was this: "How can these things be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered, "Fear not, Mary. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing which shall be conceived in thee shall be called the Son of God." A mystery of mysteries, baffling men of science and medicine from that day until this, the miraculous conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus, and as a result, the virgin birth. Jesus, our bread from heaven, is a mysterious provision. Secondly, the corn of heaven was a heavenly provision. Moses said to the children of Israel, "It is the bread that the Lord sent down from heaven." Jesus referred to the same thing in the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to John. And then he added in verse 51, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven." Our bread tonight is a heavenly provision. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 6, we read these words, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son," a heavenly provision. No wonder Paul was moved to write, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Jesus Christ is a heavenly provision. Jesus said, "No man hath seen the Father except the Son who came from heaven." "I have come from the bosom of the Father," Jesus said, a heavenly provision. And then I note about the corn of heaven that it was a homely provision. When the Israelites went out to gather manna, it was not a luxury. It was a necessity. It was not cake or a condiment. It was bread. It was necessary for their livelihood and for their physical existence. Manna was nothing beautiful. It was not fanciful to look upon. In fact, it was homely. Even so, Isaiah, in his 53rd chapter, writes concerning the bread of heaven, the Lord Jesus, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our sorrows and carried our griefs. He was stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but we esteemed him not. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Homely, no form, nor comeliness, nor beauty, that when we see him, we should desire him because of that physical beauty. The corn of heaven was a homely provision. And then I note the corn of heaven was a daily provision. You remember from the book of Exodus how that they were instructed to go out every day. And they were to gather just enough manna for that day. I can imagine some selfish individual in Israel would go out and get 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or a dozen baskets full. Selfishness. Only to wake up the next morning to discover it had worms in it. Because God said, "Thou shalt gather only enough for today." And then tomorrow you go out and gather enough for today. My, that ought to teach us a lesson. This business of living for Christ is a daily business. Why, I know people who go to church on Easter and they get enough to last until next Easter. I don't know whether that's a commentary on my preaching or whether that's a commentary on how shallow they really are, or on Christmas or once or twice a year. My, I don't understand that. It is a daily feasting upon the bread of life. Someone asked an ancient rabbi one time, why did not God give Israel enough manna to last a whole year instead of their going out every day for 40 long years? And the rabbi said, I will answer you with a parable. A certain king had a son. And the king gave to his son a sum of money once every year. And as it turned out, the only time the son saw the father and the father saw the son was the day he was to get his allowance. And so the king changed up that little situation. And he started giving something to his son every day so that the son would have to come and acknowledge the goodness of the Father every day that he lived. And I think that's what God has done for us. We cannot store up tonight something for all next week and all next month or the first of the year. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. As thy days are, not as thy years are, or months are, or weeks are, but as thy days are, so shall thy strength be. Our feasting upon Christ must be a daily thing, in order that we, as God's children, would depend upon him every day that we live. The Israelites had to go out every morning and acknowledge that God had rained bread from heaven. You and I must every day acknowledge that God continues to rain blessings from heaven upon us. And say with James, every good and every perfect gift cometh from God above. A daily provision. And then I note that the corn from heaven was a provision that had to have a personal appropriation. One man could not gather that manna for another man. Every man had to gather for himself. It is a personal business. The manna, the corn, the bread from heaven must be appropriated personally, individually. Man to man. An Israelite could have starved to death in the midst of all the manna that fell from heaven if he had not reached forth his hand to take it. A man could literally starve to death in a bakery that had enough food to feed the city unless he reached out and partook of that bread. He could starve to death. A man might die and go out to meet God unprepared from a city where the gospel is preached every day unless he reaches out by faith to appropriate the finished work of Christ in his own heart. You could come to this church every day. The pastor could stand and preach the gospel every day. And you could die and go out into eternity unprepared unless you by faith reached out to appropriate the work of Christ in your own heart and in your own life. It is a matter of personal appropriation. No man can exist on what somebody else eats. Now, I know there's some of us who eat enough for two people. But the man next door cannot exist upon what you eat, upon what I eat. Every man must eat for himself. No man is saved by proxy. Every man must confront Christ personally, individually. And may I remind you tonight, my friend, that you will either acknowledge him in this life, in your lifetime, as your Savior, or you'll stand before him one day as your judge. Individually, personally. No man can be saved by what somebody else believes. If I'm thirsty, I must drink a cool, refreshing glass of water. I can stand and watch you drink water all day, but it will never quench my thirst. You can sit by people. You can live with people. You can eat and work with people every day who are saved. But you will never be saved until you call upon the name of the Lord. It's a personal appropriation. What is bread anyhow if it is not eaten? What is the gospel if it is not believed? A light bulb is only a filament surrounded by glass until it's turned on. Love is only an emotion until it's experienced. Fire is only an element until it burns. A hammer is only a builder's tool until it is swung. A nail is only a certain mass of concentrated steel until it is driven. Bread is only so much flour and shortening and baking soda and milk until it is eaten. A song is just a poem set to music until it is sung. A bell is only a mass of steel surrounding a clapper until it is rung. The Bible is just a book divided into books and chapters and verses until it is read. The gospel is only good news until it is believed. Jesus Christ is only Christ until he is accepted. The bread of heaven is only corn until it's eaten by faith. And Jesus said, if any man eat of this bread, he shall never die. Thank God for the corn of heaven. It is there for you, and for you, and for you. The corn of heaven provided by God for you. I have a footnote to my message, and then I'm through. The corn of heaven is a universal provision. Men out of every race and tongue and language and from every continent and climate all over the globe can be saved. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. The Bible does not say, whosoever is learned or unlearned, whosoever is strong or weak, whosoever is black or white, whosoever is big or little, whosoever is tall or short, whosoever is an American or a Mexican, the Bible says, whosoever will. And Jesus said, and I must emphasize, if any man shall eat of this bread, he shall never die. Thank God for the corn of heaven. Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, we truly thank Thee tonight for that which Thou hast provided in the person of the Lord Jesus. Bread from heaven, satisfying our longing hearts. We thank Thee that whosoever will may come and eat this bread. That whosoever will may taste and see that the Lord is good. It is our prayer tonight that should there be any without the Savior, any who have not trusted Him, may they come tonight and acknowledge Him as Lord and Master and Savior, believing in Him, trusting in Him, obeying Him, following Him, opening the door of their heart to Him, that He might come in and save them. that they might taste and see that the Lord is good, that they might eat of the bread of life and never perish and never hunger and never die. Now, Father, if there be those like that, may they come to this altar. May their hearts be open to Christ. May the electrifying power of the Holy Spirit grip them and arrest them and convict them and bring them to the altar of prayer. And should there be those who need to come on this Thanksgiving Sunday and just spend a few moments around an altar thanking Thee, praying a prayer that's in their heart of thanksgiving, may they come. And should there be those, Heavenly Father, who need to come and make a public profession of faith, to come and unite with the fellowship of the church, may they come. And may all of us tonight be thankful for the corn of heaven, upon whom we have feasted for eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray.